Welcome, everybody. I hate to start with something like this today, but it's a disgusting situation that we're dealing with out there. The anti-vaxxers are now saying that the death by suicide of a professional golfer must be related to the COVID vaccine. There's one little problem. There's no reason to believe that the golfer was vaccinated and every reason to believe he wasn't, given that he said he wasn't interested in getting the COVID vaccine. This is one of those stories where it's just tragedy upon tragedy. And we have a physical tragedy. Grayson Murray taking his own life in the middle of a golf tournament, combined then with the tragedy of ignorance and idiocy that is plaguing this country like another virus, quite frankly. Where to even start? We start, I guess, with the ESPN report. Family says PGA Tour golfer Grayson Murray died by suicide. We don't have to go into the details of Grayson Murray. This isn't a sports show, but it made news that in the middle of a tournament, Grayson Murray died by suicide. There's no doubt about this. It wasn't suspicious. It's not, you know, an Epstein sort of situation. This is what took place. But tragically, and without any hesitation, the anti-vaxxers, they only have a hammer. So every death looks like a nail to them. The anti-vaxxers are blaming the vaccine. An individual who tweets under the name Concerned Citizen, whose username is or was, it's now been suspended, B. Gates is a psycho, which tells you a lot about their perspective, tweeted, PGA Tour winner Grayson Murray dies suddenly, age 30. Rest in peace. Reminder that this is absolutely not effing normal. Health officials need to conduct a full investigation into why young, fit, healthy people keep dying suddenly, although you already know why. Another tweeted, this one goes by the name Tanky, quote, very sad. I hope it wasn't due to the safe and effective vaccine. Rest in peace, Grayson Murray. Another person tweeted, Lars Pelinat, said, please note that it is totally normal for young, fit athletes to suddenly drop dead. Happens all the time since they started the corona vaccines. There's only one problem. By all accounts, Grayson Murray was not vaccinated. Why do we know that? Why do we believe that? Well, there's an article dating back to the vaccine era in the News Observer about Grayson Murray. And we have the article on the screen. We will link to it. If you scroll down, it's pretty unambiguous. If you scroll down the article, it says Murray is happy things are returning to normal in life and in professional golf now that so many people are getting their vaccines for the coronavirus. Not Murray, though, not yet. Murray contracted COVID in 2020, posted he was in isolation. His symptoms lasted 8 days, but he has not been vaccinated. He said, quote, personally, I'm not into the scare of the whole thing. That's my take on it. Now that the vaccine is out, people are going to get it. If they choose not to get it, that's fine. I think eventually the tour is going to put it on us to get our own COVID test and pay for our own test, which would be a pain. That's their way of saying you'll have to go get yours, the vaccine. I don't want to, but I have family members who have. Why was he opposed to the vaccine? Well, he said technically it's not FDA approved. I don't know what people's complications will be years from now. I'll do it when it's FDA approved. I've had COVID. I'm not going to die from it. So we have certainly no evidence that he was vaccinated. And we do have an interview that suggests he was not. But there's a couple other important things here. Even if indeed Grayson Murray had been vaccinated, there is no evidence that people are dying from the vaccine. You had this guy, Brett Weinstein, recently say he believes 17 million people may have died from the COVID vaccine. And as I pointed out, I know many people who have died from COVID. I don't even know anyone who's had a serious reaction to the COVID vaccine, never mind a death. And don't you think that if there were 17 million people dead from the COVID vaccine, we would all know such individuals? Of course, I don't, and nobody in the audience told me of a single person they know that died from the vaccine. So even if he had been vaccinated, it would not mean that this death was related to the vaccine. The family said he died by suicide. And also worth mentioning, because they talk about young people suddenly dying, sudden cardiac death in young people is not actually up. The stories are getting more attention, but this goes back a very long time. Famously, you know, we had basketball players. I remember when I followed basketball closely in the 90s, basketball players who had these sudden cardiac deaths. We've explored that in detail as well. So it is, as usual, sad. It's disgusting. It's depressing that we are hearing from folks who seem to think that there is something here. It is the tragedy here is a death by suicide. And the tragedy is how far we have fallen in terms of these anti-vax, anti-science, anti-thinking people. And by the way, the anti-thinking doesn't stop at vaccines. It also includes so-called assassination plots, which I want to talk about next. Right wingers Tucker Carlson and Patrick Bet-David are continuing the completely bogus story that Joe Biden had a plan to kill Donald Trump through use of force when Mar-a-Lago was searched as part of the documents case. They are continuing this as if this is a real story. So I'm going to play this for you. I feel like I need to give you just a reminder what this is all about. One of the documents that was part of the search warrant against Trump's Mar-a-Lago was a generic FBI use of force provision. It's part of every search warrant. It was part of the search warrant executed at Joe Biden's house. And all it says is you can use lethal force if the target of the search becomes, I forget the language, an imminent threat to others or public safety. It's not special. It's in every single FBI search warrant. There is a group of right wingers, Trump included, who have turned this into Biden planned to kill me using FBI force. Of course, the search warrant was served on a day where Trump wasn't even at Mar-a-Lago, and they knew that. But Tucker Carlson and Patrick Bet-David, they're acting like this was a real thing. And this is why people are falling for it, because it's been long debunked. It's one of the dumbest conspiracy theories of the year. But you have people with a following, Tucker, Patrick Bet-David, acting like there was really a Biden plot to assassinate Trump.
Involved in the machinery of internal repression in this country.
So, you're not saying that the DOJ would ever give permission to use deadly force when they're invading a former
when
president.
When they're going through Melania's underwear drawers?
That would never happen.
Yeah, Melania shows up and says, why are you going through my nightgowns?
Boom.
Bam!
Yeah.
Deadly force. So yeah. I would say that the problem that we have as as people who are not part of the machine, you don't even need to be, it's not even a right or left question. It's, are you on the side of lies or are you not? Is we don't understand just how serious they are. I mean, if you were running DOJ and you saw a search warrant that said, yes, the use of deadly force applies in a documents case, a classified documents case. But
so first of all, it doesn't matter whether it's a documents case. Also, by the way, the Biden search warrant was also a documents case. And it also had the same use of force provision. Are we to believe Biden had a plan to have himself assassinated? It's the same provision. It doesn't matter if it's a documents case.
The way the documents were meaningless, no one's ever shown otherwise. It doesn't matter. You could put them on the internet now. It just doesn't matter, actually. And if you were the attorney general and you were looking through the warrant and said use of deadly force is allowed, you'd say, whoa, 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 whoa.
Now, the idea of use of deadly force is allowed. It's not a question of is it allowed specifically. It's in every search warrant. Every FBI search warrant says if the target becomes an imminent threat, in that situation, you can use force. There's nothing special there.
We're literally rooting through Melania's dresser. We don't need to use deadly force. Wouldn't you say that just as a... Someone who believes in fairness and sanity?
The fact that you're putting that in there to give permission, and it's just kind of, you know, water under, yeah, no worries.
It's not being put in to give permission. It's boilerplate. It's just a boilerplate use of force provision. It was there for Biden's search warrant as well. But they're continuing. This has all been debunked. Understand that this interview took place 5 days ago. The entire story was long debunked.
Next news cycle. It's not a big story. Next news cycle. It's not a big story.
But what does it say? It says that they're serious enough to kill you. Absolutely they are. Gonzalo Lira got murdered in Ukrainian prison. This, of course, run by the State Department and CIA. Basically killed by the Biden administration. No big deal.
Well, I mean, at least...
He's an American citizen.
But at least the confidence comes the fact that never in the history of U.S. has the government ever assassinated a president. So it's not like that kind of a person who's a very ambitious vice president would never do that to become a president historically and within minutes want to be sworn in.
Sounds like a dangerous conspiracy theory to me. So let me ask you, though, it's pretty clear to me that two summers ago, so August 2022, when that deadly force raid on Mar-a-Lago took place and they rooted through.
Did you hear that? Tucker casually calls it a deadly force raid on Mar-a-Lago. Trump wasn't there and they scheduled it for when Trump wouldn't be there. What does it mean to call it a deadly force raid? Do you think if there's a plan to use deadly force against Donald Trump, you will call ahead and say to the Secret Service, hey, FBI here, we're showing up on Tuesday. Trump won't be there, right? Nope, Trump won't be here that day. Perfect. That's the day we're going to go, just so everybody knows. We'll be there on the day that Trump's not there. How on earth do you call that a deadly force raid? How on this planet do you say that the plan is to use deadly force on Trump when you call ahead and go, we want to go on a day Trump's not there? So this entire conversation we've been watching, it's a farce. It's totally made up. The underpinnings of this are completely and totally fabricated. And yet there's a large contingent out there that is now all over Twitter. They're all over X. They're on whatever other platform they use, Rumble, Locals. I don't know where these people are at this point. They could crawl back to wherever they used to tweet or post from, for all I care. They're saying, how is the assassination plan of Trump by Biden not a bigger story? Because it's made up. Because it's made up, it's not a bigger story. This one, if repeated enough, will become truth to them. They'll refer back to it in a year, in 2 years. Remember when Biden had the deadly force plan to have Trump killed? No, I don't remember that at all. So remember the details. Remember that they are fabricating it out of thin air and there is simply no there. All right. We now are up to 312 people who have taken advantage of the Memorial Day membership special. I'll keep it going. As I said yesterday, if you miss the email Monday, just email info@davidpakman.com and say, hey, David, give me the code. And about 100 people did, some fraction of whom have signed up. If you still want the Memorial Day code, email info@davidpakman.com. It's a great way to support what we do at a significant discount. This is the only membership drive we've done this year. Just email in and say, David, I would love that code. Please, sir. Or however you want to do it. Just be polite. info@davidpakman.com. Let's take a quick break, hear from a sponsor or two, and then we'll continue. Have you seen these people search sites? It's a big data privacy problem in the United States because they publish detailed personal profiles on millions of Americans online for anyone to see. And it is crazy. They can show your address, your internet activity, license plate number, even your political or religious beliefs. Government agencies like the FBI and NSA even buy this data to potentially use against you. Our sponsor, Incogni, is the affordable service that will send automatic data removal requests to these data brokers who are required by law to comply. Incogni even follows up with the data brokers to make sure your data is permanently gone. And Incogni keeps you updated every step of the way. I use it myself. It is remarkable what they can get done for you. I barely get any spam and robocalls anymore. And these data broker lists are where they're usually getting that information. That alone makes Incogni worth it. And my audience gets 60% off. Go to incogni.com/Pakman and use the code Pakman. That's INCOGNI.com/Pakman for 60% off. The link is in the podcast notes. One of our sponsors today is BetterHelp. I have long been an advocate of psychotherapy. Whether you have an ongoing issue, a particular temporary situation that's causing stress, I think most people can benefit from spending time with a therapist. Give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. There are so many benefits to doing therapy online. It'll work on your schedule wherever you are. No more waiting rooms and sitting in traffic or having to take 3 hours off of work to get down and back for a 45 or 50 minute session. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Pacman Show today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/Pacman Show. The link is in the podcast notes. Did you know that Americans pay twice as much for their wine as the rest of the world? The reason is because of laws that date back to Prohibition that ensure the right of wholesalers to make a big margin. It's actually insane, which is why I love our sponsor, Naked Wines, so much. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet, so you get a case of the market's best quality wines however often you'd like for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. How does Naked Wines do it? Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly without the middleman, allowing for vineyard to your door delivery at up to 60% off of what you would pay in store. My girlfriend likes white wine. I like red. We'll split a case that has both, which Naked Wines makes very easy to do. You can customize your subscription precisely to your taste. So go to nakedwines.com/Pacman, click enter voucher in the top right, and enter Pacman for both the code and the password to get 6 bottles for just $29.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and under $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/Pacman, then enter Pacman as both the code and password for 6 bottles for $29.99 with shipping included. The info is in the podcast notes. The David Pacman Show is made possible and sponsored primarily by our audience. Viewers, listeners, we have something called the membership program. It's very cheap and it comes with great perks, including a daily commercial-free audio and video feed of the show, the daily bonus show, which Alex Jones absolutely despises that we have a bonus show.
Oh, the bonus show where you want to make money. Yeah. Everybody else that makes money to fund themselves is bad.
And many other great perks. You can read about it at joinpacman.com, and you can sign up as well in an instant. Check it out. Okay. We are getting to the final phase of the first of many criminal trials for failed former President Donald Trump. Legal experts who are not personally friends with Trump are describing the closing argument from Trump's defense attorney as not good, failed, and very bad. There was a moment where there was a problem because Trump's defense lawyer tried to argue to the jury that they must consider that Trump might end up in prison if they convict him. And that is not something that you are allowed to do as far as closing arguments, to the best of my understanding, based on everything I've read from legal experts. And the judge had to actually interfere in this. Blanche tried to use as a defense in the closing argument, do you realize that if you convict my client, he may end up in prison? And of course, the jury is not to decide based on what the punishment may be. The jury is meant to take a look at what does the law say and what are the facts of the case as they came into this trial. Let's apply the facts to the law and determine whether a law was broken. It will then be up to a different part of the justice system to decide what, if any, and how severe a punishment there may be and whether that will include prison time. And Todd Blanche tried to say, You know, you might put a president in prison if you convict, right? And that is not a valid form of argumentation. Paula Reed, CNN's legal correspondent, was in the courtroom yesterday during these closing arguments, and she said, this is not good. This was not going well. Let's take a listen to this report.
Much back here with Kate Collins and Paula Reed, continuing to monitor. I mean, this line of closing argument, it's surprising.
It's not good. He started off strong, as we expected, that he would focus on the crimes that have been alleged here, which are the falsifying business records, right? Lay them out, put distance between those records and your client. This is something he does have to touch on right now. Now, apparently he is turning out of the recording Michael Cohen made of Trump that he said proves that Pecker would be paid back. Now, when it comes to the length of time he has spent on this argument that this was not done to help Trump in the 2016 election, this could prove in hindsight to be a mistake. He stayed way too long at the fair here, arguing things that just are not going to be believed by the jury. Now, some jurors are intently watching Blanche. Others are glancing down at monitors where the testimony and the documents are being displayed.
Now, what he's talking about is a recording that Michael Cohen secretly made of Donald Trump, the man he was working for. So, you know, ethically, that is
dodgy,
completely sleazy. And Michael Cohen's testimony was that he made that in order to play it for David Pecker, so that David Pecker would be assured that he was going to get paid back, because David Pecker was concerned he wasn't going to get paid back. That argument makes very little sense to me.
Yeah, very little sense. It does not speak well for Michael Cohen's credibility, surreptitiously recording a client without their permission.
And then he's going to play it for his client's friend, who theoretically could then just tell Donald Trump, by the way, do you know your attorney just secretly recorded you? It
doesn't. All right. So as you can see, not super impressed by the closing arguments. There was a point, as I mentioned, during which Judge Merchan, seemingly furious, scolded Blanche about making that claim about don't send my client to prison. He said, as an attorney, you must know that that's not allowed. He said, quote, making a comment like that is highly inappropriate. It's simply not allowed, period. And of course, it part of the reason it's not allowed is it is also misleading jurors, because it's possible Trump will go to prison, but he might not. And that is not the basis on which they should be determining guilt or innocence anyway. And also, it's potentially not accurate. So a number of different problems during this closing argument, and a number of legal experts are saying, listen, the evidence here is overwhelming. The question of Trump's guilt has really been resolved here, and it seems as though there is really no other way to interpret the evidence. The counterpoints that are being made by Trump's defense team are that the entire case is political in nature, that it's a witch hunt, that these are really accounting mistakes, that Trump didn't even really know or have involvement in this stuff, even though that seems to have been contradicted. And then the next question, of course, becomes what, if anything, will the jury make, whether they are supposed to consider it or not? We know that juries inevitably are impacted by the behavior of the defendant. What impact will Trump's behavior during the trial have? And that's a part of what I want to talk about next. Yesterday, during closing arguments in Donald Trump's criminal trial, Trump effectively threw a courtroom tantrum that, according to all reports, stunned the prosecutors, the judge, and everybody in the room. Like a little baby boy, like a toddler, he stopped looking over in the direction of prosecutors and just essentially started giving them the cold shoulder, a change from earlier in this trial. And again, another bit of behavior that the jury, I can only imagine, will be, if anything, subconsciously influenced by, if not consciously. And there are a number of reports now that are saying, is Trump turning off the jury with his behavior? Is Trump offending the jury? The sleeping, the jurors have to be there and awake and paying attention, missing out on their lives in order to participate in this process and render justice as a jury of Trump's peers. Although, does Trump really have any peers? That's a question for a different day. They have to be there. They have to be awake. And one interpretation of Trump sleeping is this guy isn't even taking this seriously or respecting this process enough to stay awake. He won't even stay awake. And so the task of the jury is to apply the facts to the law. Trump sleeping is neither a fact nor the law. But if you talk to defense attorneys, they will tell you they often will instruct their client as to how to behave, how to dress when they have a question, how to react or not react with regard to facial expressions. And do they prefer questions or notes be written down versus turning and covering the mouth, or how should all of these things are known to influence juries? And respect for the jury by a defendant is a big part of that. So there is speculation that Trump's behavior, childish, immature, disrespectful, dismissive of the jury, will potentially negatively affect the outcome here for Trump. And Trump scaling this up by making a big show of not even looking over at the prosecution as they speak. And particularly noticeable because Todd Blanche, Donald Trump's defense attorney, was still, which is what you do when people talk, you turn towards them and you look and you listen to what they are saying. Todd Blanche, with his full body turned towards the prosecutors, in the prosecutor's direction. So Trump reportedly throwing a hissy fit in court. And then, of course, on the way in, the behavior wasn't much better. Trump making a very critical mistake, which we'll talk about here. Donald Trump did issue one of these verbal explosions. You might call it a verbal ink blot. You might call it verbal diarrhea on the way into the court yesterday. Donald Trump's lawyer, Todd Blanche, looking increasingly panicked and concerned by the by the things that Donald Trump is saying daily. And let's go through just a little bit of it. Donald Trump saying that he isn't allowed to speak. Of course, he says this while speaking.
And I'm a gay lord. I'm not allowed to speak. It's a first. No president has not been allowed to speak.
So Trump, of course, saying while speaking that he is not allowed to speak. Trump tried to do his little routine where he reads articles from all of the great legal scholars who were just Trump friendly sycophants like Jonathan Turley and Greg Jarrett and others. Trump seems to get confused while reading Jonathan Turley's article and tells some very strange anecdote about a three-legged stool. And it's really weird. And Trump's lawyer even seems like this is some weird stuff.
Jonathan Turley, a classic closing pitch by the lawyers is to use a physical object like a three-legged stool. If any three-legged stool is missing and any leg is missing, the stool absolutely collapses. Even a cursory review of the evidence shows that this case.
By the way, look at Blanche. He's like, did I turn off the burner this morning after I made my eggs?
Does not have a leg to stand on. This is a case without a leg to stand on.
There you go. Blanche kind of like, what the hell is going on here? A very noticeably feeble and terrified Trump tries to read off of his emotional support papers. Some call them security blankets right outside the courtroom. And again, just really struggling to read this stuff.
They sign them literally on an hourly basis because NDAs cannot have. And then it says Trump did not have a fecal legal duty with respect to that.
Did he say Trump? Trump didn't have a fecal legal duty. I have. This is too much. A fecal duty. Oh, my goodness. You can't even write. This is too crazy for SNL.
Trump did not have a fecal legal duty with respect to that.
Yeah, a fecal duty.
He could not have intentionally flouted the known legal duty.
All right. So Trump doesn't even understand the words that are on the printed pages. And then, you know, just in general, a very low energy Trump yesterday. Even Fox News seemed pretty bored with it all.
And just to end, we had an election expert who was going to say everything was perfect. We had the FEC did nothing. It was fine. And we had a lot of other people. I could give you a list of 40 people that would say the exact same thing as these people said.
Right.
So thank you all very much. We'll see how it goes. This is a very dangerous day for America. It's a very sad day. Thank you.
Are you worried about a conviction?
Todd, are you coming tonight?
All right. Questions shouted at him, but as usual, he does not turn around to answer them. He gave some.
And by the way, you may notice there at the back of the courtroom or back of the hallway, rather, Tiffany Trump, the often not seen, the rarely seen, I guess is what I mean. Tiffany Trump. Flanked by Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump. And you can tell that this guy is terrified. An increasingly scared Trump is wondering, are they going to send me to prison after this entire thing is over? And the answer, of course, is we simply do not yet know. But we may know soon. Jury deliberations expected to start today. We're going to take a break. We will hear from Lara Trump. We will hear from a guy named Stephen Chung. If you've not, we're introducing a new character into the ecosystem. Stephen Chung is really straight out of central casting, as Donald Trump likes to say. So all of that and more, the downfall of Jimmy Dore and many other things scheduled today. I'm glad you're here. I appreciate you. We've talked on the show about the various problems in the supplement industry, a major one being how the quality and freshness of what you're getting can vary, which is why for years I've turned to AG1. Our sponsor AG1 conducts relentless testing to set the standard for purity and potency. Just a single daily scoop of AG1 has your daily vitamins, minerals, and probiotics covered, conveniently replacing all your other supplements. And AG1 is constantly searching for how to improve. At 52 iterations of their formula and counting, their team is always trying to find better ways to source and test ingredients. AG1 was researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, one of the most rigorous independent quality and safety certification programs in the supplement industry. They obsess over product quality, the standards of manufacturing partners, and their sustainability practices. You can try AG1 and get a free year supply of vitamin D and K, plus 5 free AG1 travel packs at drinkag1.com/Pacman. The info is in the podcast notes. All right. Much of Trump's family coming out to support him yesterday, I guess, outside the courtroom as closing arguments went down. And today, jury deliberation is expected to start. We talked about the presence of Eric Trump, Donald Trump Jr. We saw Tiffany Trump there. No Melania. Absolutely no Melania, and not a surprise. But one of the interesting ones was actually Lara Trump. Laura. I honestly, I don't know how her name is said. I still don't understand how her name is said. We talked about the ways in which for a lot of these right wing types, everything looks like a nail because all they have is a hammer. As co-chair of the Republican National Committee for Lara Trump, everything is a fundraising opportunity. And so her answer to everything being so unfair and it's evidence of a banana republic and all this different stuff, her takeaway is, maybe make some donations. These people, maybe make some donations. Send the RNC some money.
They have not proven anything to be a crime whatsoever.
And by the way, there's a heckler screaming throughout much of this, which I absolutely love. That's what you're hearing in the background.
They have not proven anything to be a crime whatsoever, and they will not. Because at the end of this, we all know what it is about. And to the jury, when they realize these people who have wasted 5 weeks of their time in there, that they have been part of a political game, as New Yorkers, I'm pretty sure they're going to be upset about it. This is not the United States of America if this is successful. This
right.
is Banana Republic type stuff. And if they can profit off it on the other side, so can we. DonaldJTrump.com. If you want to contribute to help Donald Trump become the 47th president of the United States.
There you go. If you want to fight back, if you want to beat back what they're doing, go to DonaldJTrump.com and then donate money. And of course, there's a shared fundraising agreement between the RNC and Trump. You know, we on the left sometimes say we need regulation. We need to protect consumers from con men and scams and all these different things. And I believe that we do. I stand by that. At this point, if you are hearing Lara Trump after everything that's happened, going back to 2015, 9 years, the presidency, the loss, trying to steal the election, the scam, the grift, Trump University, the Trump charity, all these different things. And you go, hey, you know what? It's May 29th. The video is from May 28th, 2024. I think I'm going to donate to Trump. That seems reasonable. I think what I need to do right now is to give money to Donald Trump. We can't protect these people, right? I mean, we can't save them from their own stupidity at this point in time. And it really does seem like if in May of 2024, you are donating to Trump because he's being he's been charged and tried, a fool and their money are soon parted seems to ring very, very, very true. I don't know how else to say it. I just don't think we truly can protect these folks if at this point they say that makes sense. So Lara Trump taking the approach of donate money. Let's now see what Stephen Chung's approach is. All right. I'm going to introduce a new character for you today. Some people know this guy, but most people don't. He's a bit of a more obscure character in MAGA world. This is Stephen Chung. OK, Stephen Chung is he's supposedly a very savvy media strategy operator, and he's a spokesperson for Trump. He runs communications to some degree and various campaigns. He stepped up to the microphone yesterday and he delivered a statement that is amazing because he repeated verbatim the things Trump likes to say. The trial is election interference. There's no crime, all this stuff. But only Trump can say that stuff confidently, because it's all nonsense. When Chung was saying this stuff, he actually seems confused by what he's saying because it makes no sense. And so he has this look on his face of like, what am I saying? What am I talking about? There's a, like a perfunctory nature to him repeating Trump's talking points with inflection that suggests he doesn't get it nor even believe it. I love this. This is great. And by the way, can you believe this guy is my age? I saw this guy and I was like, oh, this must be like some 60-year-old, very experienced media guy. This guy's a few months older than me. And as delusional as you can imagine, listen to this.
Make no mistake, this is election interference of right. The highest order.
Yeah.
Crooked Joe Biden and his campaign are in complete freakout mode. And that's why they've gone back on the word. And now they've gone in bed with a highly conflicted judge.
This is all Trump stuff. The judge is highly conflicted. This is all election interference. He's just, it's verbatim Trump stuff. And he seems to barely even understand it because it makes no sense.
And now they're making a political mockery of this entire thing. The fact remains that President Trump will overcome. He'll fight these charges up and down. And there's nothing to stop the truth from coming out.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I absolutely love this guy. I love this guy. There's a very interesting piece about him, which we will link to from about a month ago, 2 months ago, called The Face of Donald Trump's Deceptively Savvy Media Strategy. And the article is by Claire Malone. It's a fascinating view into this guy, Stephen Chung. And it says the former president and his spokesman, Stephen Chung, like to hurl insults at their political rivals. But behind the scenes, the campaign has maintained a cozy relationship with much of the mainstream press. The article is more about the media strategy than it is about Chung. But there is some fascinating, fascinating stuff about this guy. So my suggestion is put this guy out every single day. I want to be hearing from this guy every single day. It's fantastic in every way. Trump likes to say straight out of central casting. I very much agree with it. And this all, as we now close the arc and move on to other things, brings us to the explosive Truth Social rant from Donald Trump, in which he made a very serious mistake. Donald Trump couldn't help himself. He had to engage caps lock and send post after troth after troth on Troth Central.
Troth Central.
And he makes a mistake here. He makes a mistake. Let's go to what Trump posted. In all caps, quote, "The greatest case I've ever seen for reliance on counsel. And Judge Merchan will not, for whatever reason, let me use that as a defense in this rigged trial." Another term, advice of counsel defense. What's Trump talking about here? This is a critical mistake that Trump is making. Reliance on counsel is a legal term that basically means I was simply relying on the advice of my attorney. I imposed no opinion. I imposed none of my own will. None of this was my idea. I was given advice by my lawyer and I did what my lawyer said. And the idea of using this in legal proceedings is a defense to say I was getting professional legal advice from a lawyer that I paid and retained. That's it. I had no reason to suspect a lawyer was going to lead me astray. I'm completely innocent of anything. And the idea is you invoke it to say, I operated in good faith. I have no liability. I acted reasonably. I was being told by a lawyer what I should do. This is a critical mistake for Trump to now be asserting. And the reason it's a mistake is we know from what was presented at trial that Trump was not acting in good faith. Trump was leading the charge. We have audio recordings where Trump is saying, hey, we've got to deal with this. I want to deal with it in cash. I want to do this. I want to do that. The things Trump wanted Cohen to do were even worse and more legally problematic than what ultimately was done. And the idea that, listen, I don't know, I did nothing. Michael Cohen showed up. He had a plan. I went along with it. Any reasonable person acting in good faith would assume it was all legal. That's not the argument they've been making in court. And a desperate and terrified Trump is now bringing out reliance on counsel. That's the defense and they won't let me do it. Trump continuing. Unhinged, quote, "I didn't have a fixer. I had a lawyer who at that time was fully accredited and accepted within the legal community. But the judge is not allowing me to use the reliance on counsel defense. I may be the only person in the country not allowed to do so, and the only one who has a very unconstitutional and restrictive gag order. Not fair. Freedom. Trump continuing, can you imagine that I, as a defendant, am not allowed to rebut or correct the many lies told during the 5-hour filibuster just put on by the Soros-backed DA's office in the Manhattan court? What a disgraceful performance of misrepresentation it was. What's Trump referring to here? Trump's referring to the fact that the prosecution gets to do their closing statement after Trump. This is the way it works in court. It's just in New York court, the closing statement first comes from the defense and then comes from the prosecution. It's not a conspiracy against Trump. And by the way, Trump could have testified in the case, wouldn't have changed the order of closing statements, but Trump could have testified in the case and given his version of events. But he didn't, because it would have been a disaster. And he has no credible alternative version of events. Trump continuing on Truth Social, Biden witch hunt, and then another message referring to Robert De Niro showing up yesterday outside the courtroom to present an alternative perspective on Trump. Quote, I never knew how small, both mentally and physically, wacko former actor Robert De Niro was. Today, De Niro, who suffers from an incurable case of Trump derangement syndrome, commonly known in the medical community as TDS, was met outside the courthouse with a force far greater than the radical left, MAGA. Robert, whose movies, artistry, and brand have gone way down in value since he entered the political arena at the request of crooked Joe Biden, looked so pathetic and sad out there. Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? So Trump now, of course, taking aim at Robert De Niro, because De Niro has the audacity and the testicular fortitude to say anything that is not glowing about Donald Trump. So a disastrous day for wildly triggered Trump. Jury deliberation expected to start today. We've closed out our coverage of the main trial, the trial in chief, the first of potentially four of these criminal trials. So we will take a break. We're going to get to some other things after the break, and we will be standing by for the verdict, which could come very quickly or not. We will see. If you've been thinking about getting a new mattress, Helix Sleep is where I would start. I've been sleeping on Helix mattresses for years now. I recommend Helix to everyone, which is why I wanted them as a sponsor. If you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded number one mattress by both GQ and Wired magazine. And one of the things that makes Helix unique is their sleep quiz. I didn't really know what kind of mattress would be best for me, but you do this short sleep quiz, you answer questions about your body type and your preferences, what position you like to sleep in, and Helix will match you with the perfect mattress for you. So you know you're actually getting something tailored to your needs instead of going in blind like most people do. I got my Helix mattress designed to stay cool at night since I hate getting hot while I sleep. Shipping is always free. You get 100 nights to decide whether you like it. Right now, for a limited time, Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows. It's the biggest discount they've ever offered. Go to helixsleep.com/Pacman. That's helixsleep.com/Pacman for up to 30% off and two free pillows. The link is in the podcast notes. All right, let's talk a little bit about a former leftist, I guess. I don't know what to call him. Some people know him as Jimmy Dore. Some people know him as Jimmy Dore. This is a guy who has really, really lost his way. And the reason I'm going to play a couple of clips for you, recent clips from Jimmy, is that I still get emails from people who say, David, you've lost your way. I used to see you as someone of the left. You are not no longer someone of the left. Look to Jimmy Dore as your North Star, as your guiding light for what it means to be on the left. I'm pretty sure Jimmy Dore is supporting Trump at this point. So how the true leftist is now Jimmy Dore is really beyond me. But I'm going to just give you a couple of examples. And the reason I do this is there's a very particular question that I think is relevant to ask, to probe the videos that we look at from supposed or former leftists. And the question is this. What is progressive about what I am going to play for you here today? What leftism am I missing that is embodied by the following clips? Here is Dore explaining how numerology is stuff and real, and why Carl Jung wasn't actually anti-Semitic because of numerology. This is like, this isn't just, oh, I'm a free market libertarian now. No. This is like whacked out stuff. Okay. Take a listen to this. And this is the guiding North Star for people, some people who are very angry with me that I've not continued down this path.
The mark of the beast, everyone says, is 666. But if you know anything about numerology, that's 666 and 6 equal 18. If 1 and 8 is 9, 9 is you. The beast is in you.
Right.
And that's what that actually means. So the beast is in your shadow, in your unconscious. And that's why Jung wouldn't condemn, they asked him to condemn Nazis, but he'd already done the journey into his unconscious and he'd seen Nazis inside of himself.
Right.
And that's why he was like, no, and that's what I tried to say, he was anti-Semitic. But anyway, we're getting a little bit off course here.
We are certainly off course. Yes. The path of progressive change has gotten very much off course with a Jimmy Dore talking about numerology. Like, this is seriously wacky stuff. I don't know how you trust anything that comes out of the mouth of someone who is talking about numerology. Now, for people who don't know about numerology, the best way I have to explain it is that it's the belief that there is specific meaning to numbers that might seem random or to not have that significance. And of course, it's a completely debunked. I hate the term pseudoscience because there's no science in it whatsoever. Numerology has no empirical basis. It has zero scientific validation. People often, when they come across numerology, they'll like remember instances where it seemed to work. You know, there's this number that's supposed to have this meaning, and it did actually in my life. And they ignore all of the times where the numerology would have led them astray. This is called confirmation bias. Without confirmation bias, numerology would be dead, first and foremost. And of course, if you say it's like with homeopathy, I'm going to get the emails. It's like with homeopathy. There is no empirical mechanism by which homeopathy works because there's no ingredients. And similarly, there is no mechanism by which numerology would influence physical or psychological events. And you have fields that explain their phenomena. Numerology, I've not even found a plausible explanation for how the numbers supposedly exert the effects that they claim to exert. And there's also a huge cultural element to numerology. Like, the number 4 is unlucky in some cultures. It's a totally normal number in the West. In the West, 13 is considered unlucky in some cultures. And there's cultures around the world where 13 means nothing. You know, we don't even have a 13th floor. We don't have a floor labeled 13 in many American hotels, but that makes absolutely no sense in other parts of the world. So the differences and the meanings attributed to numerology are really cultural. They're not universal, and they have no actual basis in significance. And Jimmy Dore, who to some is like Tulsi Gabbard at one point and others, was the real barometer of leftism, is now fully sucked into this. He also jumps into the conspiracy theory about how at some point the powerful elites are going to force, I guess, all of us to eat bugs. They'll still have, you know, nice steaks, I guess. I don't know. But we'll all be eating bugs. This is a classic hardcore right wing cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs conspiracy theory.
So that ruins. So when I see all the billionaires telling me,
yeah,
that I've got to be buying oceanfront property, as they tell me that I got to ride electrical bikes in all weather while living in a storage container while eating the bugs that hit me in the face along the way. I believe it.
He's a comedian, so that's why people are laughing so hard, in case you didn't know.
The future, just not their future. Okay?
Yeah, they had a future planned where you're going to eat bugs.
That's right.
Yeah.
Never believe in a billionaire's version of the future for you. It's never good for you.
Yeah. So you know, this whole eating bugs thing, again, it's all a cover, okay? Or not a cover. That's not really the right word. It's a euphemism. Eating bugs is a sign that the wealthy elites, the Bilderbergs, the Illuminati, the Trilateral Commission, the deep state, whoever, okay? They have a plan where they will force fake climate change stories on us to take away our beef steaks. They will keep eating beef but we will be relegated to eating bugs. Now, of course, it's all pretty dumb in the sense that many cultures already eat insects in different forms. For decades, there have been startups that are using, you know, ground up crickets as a source of protein. And some people like it and some people don't. You know, I've not delved into it or whatever. But the idea is that there are going to be authoritarian diets imposed on us where we, the plebs, will be forced to eat bugs. And it also very much misrepresents conservation efforts. Like, part of the whole eating bugs thing is to push back against sustainable and alternative food sources, which, like, hey, listen, I'm not a vegetarian, but also I am aware of the effect of saturated fat on diet, and I'm aware of the climate impact of certain foods over others, and I'm, you know, eating what I believe is both a healthy and more sustainable amount of red meat, which is very little, quite frankly, but still some. We have innovations in food production. We have lab-grown meat. We have plant-based this, that, the other thing. The entire they're going to force us to eat bugs is part of the same kind of unhinged, almost always right-wing authoritarian conspiracy theory stuff. And it seems like he's totally, totally fallen for it. Now, here's what I want to know. Here's my question to you, to the sane part of my audience. Is this whole numerology, they're going to force us to eat bug stuff from Jimmy Dore, does he really believe this stuff? Or is it audience capture? And he's just giving them what they want because these are the people that he makes money from. I think he does shows or something, comedy shows. And you can imagine how funny they are from what we just heard. Is it because this is, he realizes, wow, my audience is cuckoo. I've got to now do cuckoo in order to get them to follow me. So the question is, do you think he really believes this stuff? Or do you think he's just saying this for the benefit of the people in his audience? I genuinely don't know the answer. I would like to know. I don't know which is worse, dishonesty or insanity. You tell me. Yet another Trump lawyer is going down in flames. Jenna Ellis, who at one point was rumored to have contracted COVID by flatulence, which we don't even know if the medical literature says that that's possible. And again, I'm sort of kidding, but you might remember that shortly after Rudy Giuliani had COVID and was farting all over Jenna Ellis in court, she came down with COVID. But we're just joking here, folks. We're just joking. She now has lost her law license for 3 years in Colorado. Now, many of you are saying, why not permanently? We will get to that. Colorado suspends ex-Trump lawyer Jenna Ellis. It's Jenna Ellis's law license for 3 years over Georgia election lies. Ellis wrote she turned a blind eye during the cynical Stop the Steal campaign. She's a Colorado native. She will not be allowed to practice law in Colorado for at least 3 years under an agreement approved Tuesday by the Colorado Supreme Court. She's from Longmont. She was facing potentially total disbarment after she pled guilty in October to a felony in Georgia. This is where she gave this very teary mea culpa about her involvement. Now they have reached an agreement in Colorado where she will lose her law license for 3 years. In the agreement, lawyers for Ellis and Colorado acknowledge that while disbarment is the presumptive sanction for her misconduct, it is significant that her criminal culpability was due to her conduct as an accessory, not a principal. Basically, they're saying this wasn't her idea. She went along with it. She pushed it forward. But at the end of the day, it wasn't just her idea. So we are not permanently disbarring her. Now, there's a case to be made that 3 years without being able to practice could effectively destroy your future legal career. Can't work as a lawyer for 3 years. Old clients move on if she had any. They probably won't be waiting around to go back to Jenna Ellis 3 years from now. And it is difficult to rebuild a career based on a completely destroyed reputation. And does she even have the money to ride it out for 3 years, or is she going to have to go in a different direction? This is not about relishing or reveling in or relishing the trials and tribulations of others, even if they brought it about themselves. This is about the reality that Trump cares only about himself. It's all about him. Other people be damned. This is lawyers. This is donors. This is campaign workers. This is former staffers. This is aides. This is cabinet members. This is everybody. And there are people in all sorts of different fields that are being hurt all the time by their association with Donald Trump. The people who donated to Trump to get him elected, and then he spent their money on legal defense and they can't afford food and they're struggling. the people who got sucked into the criminal scheme to try to send a fake slate of electors. And now they are indicted, and some of them can't even afford a lawyer, as we talked about last week. People losing law licenses, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, defamation lawsuit, and Jenna Ellis, and so many others. It's like a bull in a china shop destroying everything. In this case, it's everyone in sight. And it's a reminder. There is one important prism through which Trump sees everything, and it's what is good for him. I've been pro-choice my whole life. I'm running as a Republican. Let me come up with a story for why I'm now against abortion, because that's what would be good for me. Oh, I got the Supreme Court justices to overturn Roe v. Wade. Great. Oh, wait a second. A lot of people don't like that. No problem. Do whatever you want. States can do whatever they want. But would you sign an abortion ban? Yeah, sure, if that's what you want me to do. As long as you vote for me, as long as you donate to me. And so the number of careers destroyed by this guy, really something else. And Jenna Ellis is the latest victim. I spoke recently about how there were some people in the audience who were mad at me that I joined the body shaming of Marjorie Taylor Greene. This was after Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett said Marjorie Taylor Greene has a bad built beach blonde butch body. It's kind of hard to say. And I said, I'm not into the bringing in the physical appearance stuff. But by the way, it just kind of happens to be true. And a bunch of people said, David, you're participating in the body shaming. And here is a caller who is weighing in on the blowback I received for this.
Hey, David, I got a comment on something you said on the bonus show. You mentioned that people were getting on you a little bit for the Marjorie Taylor Greene thing and supposed body shaming of each other back and forth. I got to say, this is why the left loses. Because they're going to try to cancel somebody or in some way shame or reprimand somebody for just participating in some somewhat light humor. And I mean, it's like, you know, if somebody insults you, you're going to respond back. And it's kind of funny to just watch it from the outside. It's a circus. You acknowledge that. But this is why people will look at someone like Trump and relate to them more than someone like a lot of these people on the left who are trying to be so uptight about everything. They relate more to someone who's an asshole 24/7 than to somebody who's some sort of like pious monk who can't say a negative word. Otherwise, you'll be canceled. Nobody wants to live in that sort of environment. This is, you know, the guy you recently interviewed you, asked you, what's your biggest criticism of the left? I think you said that litmus test is one of them.
Listen, anybody who knows me knows that I have a record on this program going back decades of supporting women's rights, LGBT rights, bodily autonomy, pro-choice, all these different things. And, I do. And this was a very small slice of the audience who said, David, your joke was completely inappropriate. I'm canceling this. I'm canceling that. I'm canceling you. As I said, the entire conversation, which was precipitated by Marjorie Taylor Greene about Jasmine Crockett's fake eyelashes and Jasmine Crockett talking about the hypothetical of a member with a bleach bond, bad built butch body, whatever. I said it's all beneath us and it's crazy. And like, by the way, I happened to find what Marjorie Taylor Greene has sculpted through, I guess it's her CrossFit, to be unattractive. I happen to think it's true. Oh, it's homophobic. Butch is a homophobic term against lesbians. Guys, I have a 20-year record, almost 20-year record on camera of defending the rights of women, lesbians, LGBT. We have to be able to participate in sort of off-color cultural conversations sometimes and it not really being a huge deal. And I do share the concerns of that caller. It's just really not a big deal, you know. And if it is, maybe this isn't the show for you, honestly. Sometimes there are jokes on this show and not everything has to be, you know, super serious. All right. Bonus show. The DNC has figured out a way to fix the Ohio ballot issue for Joe Biden with a virtual nomination. We will discuss what that entails. Judge Eileen Cannon is rejecting a request for a Trump gag order in a different criminal case for Trump, one of the next ones, maybe. And the Biden campaign sent actor Robert De Niro and others to Trump's New York trial to put a focus on January 6th. Trump already attacked De Niro. Let's talk about how De Niro ended up there, whether this is useful or not. All of those stories and more on today's bonus show. Don't miss it. JoinPacman.com is the place to sign up and you will get instant access.